You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Two of my favorite people, three of my favorite people, they're all running for elected office. You know, David Hernandez, we go back.
This is like that, one of my favorite songs. Now, my friends on the right don't have a cardiac arrest, but it's by Barbara Streisand. And it's as if we never said goodbye.
We got set.
And, you know, because here she was, you know, and then all of a sudden center stage, back where she belongs, and here we are across the mic from each other, Cameron.
I know.
You know, thank you for having me here.
He's our next Lieutenant Governor of California.
Yeah.
People, by the way, we're on live in BBS Radio in San Francisco, so everyone in the Bay Area, call us. We're at 323-203-0815. Once again, if you're in Pakistan, 1-323-203-0815. Call us live. We've got the candidates. I want to introduce two people that are running for Congress. We've got the phenomenal Mark Reed.
Woo!
Welcome
again.
Absolutely. It's good to have you. He looks younger. Every time I see him, he looks younger.
That's eating healthy.
You look younger.
Eating healthy, coming up with the right solutions for the district, and really wanting to help rather than getting into dirty politics and swimming around the swamp.
That's it.
We're here to drain the swamp, aren't we? Drain it.
Drain that swamp.
The guy I'm up against looks like a swamp monster.
He is. Gavin, he's a swamp monster. But he says to me,
no.
You know what's a funny story about Brad Sherman? And I've told Mark this story. I always see him at Gelson's, and he says to me, "What's your name again? Are you a constituent in my area?" And that's all he says. And then he runs away. So you got to vote. By the way, folks out there, you want a candidate that's true to the, you know, to help out this community, and he's for community issues. Mark Reed. I'm personally endorsing David Hernandez for Lieutenant Governor of California.
Thank you, Cameron.
And Benny Bernal for Congress, and we need you. We need you up in Mission Hills, man.
That's right.
We need you there, man.
We don't have too many shopping centers.
You know, Cameron, in the district, since you live in the district right there
right.
in Granada Hills, you know one of the major issues that we're facing is the homelessness issue and drug addiction, drug abuse.
Right.
We need to address the problem and stop putting Band-Aids on it. We have an opportunity at this point to create an intake center where we can bring the people off of the street, put them in there for 30 days, find out what they need, if it's mental health care, if it's drug rehabilitation, it's vocational training, temporary housing, whatever they need. And then you pair them up with the city, county, state, and federal resources that are available. They don't have that right now.
Right.
Remember 10 years ago, you couldn't put up a granny quarters in your backyard?
That's right.
Now they want to put up these 10-by-10 buildings in your backyard and put homeless people in there without intaking to find out what's wrong with them. What they need,
because they want to pass on the problem.
That's another thing
that we need is also we need elected officials that are willing to make the decisions, because unfortunately there are some of those individuals out there that can't make that decision for themselves,
right?
And because the left is so concerned about political correctness, they're unwilling to make the decision for them. So you need people in office who are going to, the first consideration is going to be public safety and the people they represent. So they can't make a decision for themselves. We have to make it for them. And as far as we talked about draining the swamp, you know, it's funny because my opponent, Tony Cardenas, it's almost like he's at the bottom of the pool pulling the plug. You know?
He's holding it down. He's a swamp.
You know? He's a swamp.
He's doing more damage to his campaign.
I'm going to tell the folks out there in the Mission Hills. What's your area? Mission Hills?
Mission Hills, Silmar, San Fernando, Arleta, Pacoima, a little bit of Lake Viteras, a little bit of Sunland, Tujunga. So spreads out. Northeast San Fernando Valley.
By the way, you see the ballot box. You got to vote for Benito.
Absolutely.
Benito, Benny, Bernal.
Amen.
Okay. One of the things I always remember, Cameron, it is not criminal to be homeless.
Right.
But the inaction of our political politicians that have been elected is criminal. That's criminal.
Well, there are a lot of penal codes to protect the homelessness from punishment. Even if it is a crime they're committing to save themselves, a lot of time they're just reaching out to save a life or their own life.
Well, that's because they passed 47, 57, and the prison realignment. And there was a ACLU case that said that you cannot enforce the vagrancy laws unless you have somewhere to put them. Well, they've sat there, haven't figured out where to put them. They don't know what to do, so they keep passing the buck. They keep passing the buck. So they don't want to enforce the vagrancy laws that are on the books. This is where the feds need to step in. We can bring the money. I will bring the money back. I will bring the programs. I have a 40-page detailed plan that we're going to post on my website at markreedforcongress.com after the primary, because we're winning the primary. We're going on to the general. We're going to win the general.
Woo-hoo! We need people like Mark. We need people like David. We need people like me. Because you know what? The city sucks right now. It really does. And what you're saying about the homeless is that indeed.
Come on. Because the homeless population in Los Angeles just went down.
Did it go down?
That's right. I mean, they just finished the count. It dropped from 58,000 to 53,000. Uh-huh. So 53,000 men, women, and children are sleeping on the streets tonight. Now, the reality is, though, you have organizations that have been around, Hope of the Valley, Ken Kraft, and all of them. You know, and when people look at the homeless situation, they kind of like look at it as just one giant issue rather than the mosaic that it is.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
there are so many different components.
Yes, there is.
And the first thing you have to do in order to solve the homeless problem is to remove the profit motive. Because there is so much money to be made off of the suffering of the homeless. Because you have developers. We passed Measure H. We passed the county Measure HH. That's almost $3 billion on top of the billions that LASA, through the city and the county, have already been using. And so all of a sudden, you have billions of dollars at our disposal being charged at property taxes to property owners. And what happens? The homeless population goes up. So, A, you're right. And I think when Mark said, it's not illegal to be homeless and it's not illegal to be mentally ill. However, that doesn't mean you can walk into a restaurant in Ventura and go up to a father with his five-year-old daughter on his lap and stab him in the neck and kill him. Yeah. If there's an imminent danger to the individual, to himself, or to others around him, then you can intercede, and a lot more than a 72-hour hold. Right. But the real issue, and how I am approaching this homeless issue, is that it is a medical crisis, and it is not only looming; it has already begun, because you have just in Los Angeles 53,000 on the street without sanitation. I mean, we saw what happened in the Middle Ages, and without proper sanitation, you have now feces mm-hmm. all over the sidewalk. Right. The feces mm-hmm. is drying; it is becoming airborne. Passerbys are inhaling it. Now the rat population has exploded mm-hmm. in Los Angeles, in San Diego. And it is now June 1st. Guess what's coming? The flea season. So those rats are going to be covered with fleas, and the vector transmittal of those diseases. And now you have the homeless that are getting on public transportation. What does the county say? Well, maybe we should have social workers on the buses and trains to give them counseling. No. If they're infected with fleas that are carrying disease, and you have women and children and other individuals riding public transportation because Mayor Yoga Pants wants them out of their cars, you're going to have a pandemic. And what has already started to happen is people are walking into the emergency rooms in San Diego already infected.
Yes.
And I've sat down with the emergency room doctors that treated them, mm-hmm. and he's gone to the elected officials in San Diego and said, you don't understand that this is a medical emergency. No one is going to be safe because you have kids getting on those buses. You right. have – and so – rather than approach it from a criminal standpoint or even a mental health standpoint, look at it as a medical emergency, and then that way we can bring in the resources, and we can, you know, we have to force people off of public transportation who are a danger to others there. If they were on that bus or that subway with a knife or a gun, we wouldn't have to get a warrant to get them removed. But if they are carrying vector-transmitted diseases, that is the exact same thing. There are plenty of places right now, tonight, where homeless people can go and stay. But no, they can't get loaded. No, they can't get drunk. They cannot be violent with other people. So I'm really excited because this is the awareness of the medical crisis that has already begun to hit us, because there have been cases in Los Angeles as well. And in listening to some former homeless people that were going through psychotic breaks, you know, they were very upset that how can a society allow them to be in that mental state on the street and not intervene? Mm-hmm. How can we enable them to have such a horrific lifestyle because we didn't want to jump in there and help them?
That's exactly what I was talking about, the fact that there's no intake process for homeless people to be brought in under the vagrancy laws and say, what do you need? You give them a shelter, you give them housing, right. you have a team of doctors there, a team of psychologists to figure out exactly what's going on with them. But you take them off the street because there's something wrong with them. But I got one question. I liked everything you had to say, but I have one question for you. Do you really believe the numbers that were down 19%?
Oh, absolutely not. Well, they know
because
we know
these are all volunteers. Yeah. Well, the city council. Wait a minute.
Well,
wait
even
minute,
at Dave, even, on, even David, at David, F, whether David, 19
hold on,
or 5, 53,000 is too many.
The city councilmen are out there getting volunteers to go out there and do head counts. It's no different than LAPD coming back and saying crime is down after they passed 47 and 57. Mm-hmm. No, crime is just not being reported.
Well,
if
they were going to be. Have a lie worth its salt, they would be saying it's 40,000 and look at how well we've done with your money, so it's time to have another tax.
I won't broadcast their numbers because their numbers are BS. There's so much corruption involved in our systems,
but I think what we're missing here, Mark and David, is, and that's why it's very important. We talked about bringing in the federal government. How do you get the federal government involved? Because it's going to be a health epidemic.
Right.
Exactly what David was explaining with the summer heat coming up. If we bring in the CDC, you bring it in the federal government, you take it out of the hands of the corrupt politicians who are in this for all the wrong reasons. They don't care about what their situations and their sufferings. All they see is dollar signs. Once we take it out of their hands, the local politicians at the city level and at the state level, and we bring in the federal government, because of what we're going to be faced with this summer, that's how we're going to solve this issue.
How do you bring in the federal government? The federal government's
already
passed.
I had a caller that wanted to talk to David from the Bay Area. So call us back, and I got a caller that wants to talk to Mark. So please call us back. They would love to answer your questions.
Sure.
And we're going to have them in. We're very excited.
Well, if you look at the Bay Area.
Oh, let me get the phone number out real quick.
323-203-0815.
Once again, 323-203-0815. The guy from Sacramento called. We'll have him talk to you. He wants to talk to you. And then we have a guy from Tahunga.
Tahunga. Southern Tahunga. Tahunga. Up on the rock.
Yeah, they called in. So one other thing I was going to ask. I'm going to ask Mark, and then I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
And I'll ask Benito. The question for you is, you know, California, we're paying the highest taxes in the world right now. We don't have jobs coming in. I was in Palmdale, and I spoke with the embattled mayor over there. He's going to be gone soon because that's a whole fraud and a half.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to get jobs from Britain.
Palmdale and
Lancaster.
And now Malibu.
And Malibu and Lancaster. But this is my question. And also, I'd like to hear Mark's remark on this in Benito. Why do we have to have the highest tax rate? Why can't we cut the damn taxes, get jobs, promote, get businesses to come to California? That's my question. What's going on with that? Why are we not cutting taxes instead of raising them higher and higher, and people are moving their businesses to Nevada?
Right, Wyoming.
They're raising taxes to pay for all their pet projects. You know, paying for the legal defense of illegal immigrants, paying for all of the, like I said, just all their welfare. They're buying votes. Once
all
a Democrat
money.
Is in office, you can't get them out of office. Why? Because their office is buying votes.
Yeah.
The Republicans are the ones who want to be fiscally conservative and cut things down, make you independent, make you self-sufficient, and have your own businesses.
Right.
This is what they want to foster. But the Democrats foster the opposite. When you sit there and look at San Francisco and you as a couple with two children have to bring home $152,000 and you still qualify for welfare, the rest of the state is subsidizing those people.
Right.
That's because of the overtaxation in San Francisco, the city taxes. Los Angeles is becoming the same thing. Right now, I make $250,000 a year, $250,000 a year. I stay pretty much at that income level. Right now, it's really hard to make ends meet. And I talk to several people in the same boat. They're making $150,000 to $200,000 a year, and it is tough to make ends meet. That's a lot of money. but it's the city of Los Angeles, and they're over fees, right. over taxes. What's his name? Hertzberg passed the new.
Bobby Baby.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Baby, yeah.
Bobby I'm going to hug you whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, he passed the one that's going to raise property taxes up $700 to $1,500 a year. What is that doing?
Stormwater.
Everybody who rents should be up in arms because I'm a landlord, okay? I have to pass that cost to my renter. Right. It's going to be to the point where you're working a minimum wage job or a $25 an hour job, not even minimum wage, $25 an hour, you're not going to be able to afford rent.
That's right.
The CEO of DWP said he wouldn't own a house in the city of Los Angeles. You know why? Because your mortgage payments, your water and power bill is going to be more than your mortgage payment.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's outrageous. Up and up and up. And what you're saying, Mark, is true because, you know, even people buy new houses, like even Palmdale. $380,000, $390,000 for Palmdale.
Isn't that the average new house in L.A., the ones across the street from me, are $1.4 million. You know what the tax is on that? After all the added, isn't it? About $19,000 a year. Yeah. There's people living in America at poverty rate at $21,000. This has got
to
stop. This is outrageous what's going on. And all because they want to build bullet trains to nowhere. You think I'm ever going to get on a bullet train when I can get on Southwest for $50 and fly to San Francisco and be there in 1 hour? Rent a car for $40?
You know who's involved with the bullet train? You know who's involved with the bullet train? The former Nevada senator.
Yeah.
Harry Reid?
Senator Reid is involved with that. Now, let me ask a question for Benito, okay? We've been talking about living in L.A. You know Mission Hills, that area? Buying a house. I think they have a new development, I want to say. Van Nuys Boulevard. And people, they had a waiting list. You know, a lot of people couldn't pre-qualify.
Hey, we have a caller here. Same one.
Yeah, we're going to get this guy in.
Yeah, get that caller in for David.
He wants to talk to David.
Okay.
You're on the air, Cameron Sports and Life. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Cameron. Hey, it's Ken Piper.
Ken's in.
Ken, welcome back. This is a great night for you to call.
Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Good. So what's going on, Ken? We're doing our political show tonight.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I'm thinking, isn't there a ton of abandoned warehouses and things like that in L.A. in the area where these people could at least go to? At least you'll be able to congregate them in one area and you know, possibly feed them or something like that. But let them on the streets. You know, I think there's enough empty buildings in the L.A. area that, you know, you should be able to shelter some of these poor people.
Everybody wants to do that, but the biggest thing is
Mark Reid.
Is NIMBYism. It is not in my backyard. They want something done, but they don't want it to happen in their backyard. And it's because of mismanagement and corruption that the city officials have when they do run these things. But in my district here, there's a facility up in the mountains. It's an old fire camp where there's 600 beds, a full galley, a full dining room, enough space there to park their RVs there, or their mobile homes or their cars. They can create a little dog park there so they can bring their dogs in, and it can do 600 people. And what I'm talking about doing is an intern program, basically where you bring them in, you find out what's wrong with them, and then you send them back out to the resources that they need. If it's mental health care, you get the mental health care. You send them to that facility. If it's drug rehabilitation, you send them to that facility. So it's just not 600 beds there to keep them forever. It's 600 beds. It's transitional. And then that way you can take care of more and more of the homeless population. And it's up in the mountains. It's not in the valley. It's not in population. It's somewhere where it's isolated, and it can take care of the homeless, a big portion of the homeless issue right here.
It seems like you're in a situation that's out of control, and it's only going to get worse.
Absolutely. But, you know,
David Hernandez.
Yeah, getting back to the first step is you have to take the profit motive. You know, you're absolutely right. There are plenty of vacant buildings, but there's no profit to the developers. Remember, there are statewide funds with billions of dollars sitting there that a developer working with an elected official can qualify for in Benito's district, in the Tahunga area. They, with the former city council member Felipe Fuentes, he worked with a developer, and the developer was able to qualify for these funds, and he built a 26-unit apartment building and got $300,000 to $400,000 per apartment unit. Wow. So if you can make that many millions of dollars off of a 26-unit apartment, you're not going to convert one of these abandoned warehouses so you can stick people in there. So until you get rid of the profit motive, until you get rid of the elected officials that cannot be rehabilitated, they have to be replaced, and then looking at some very common sense, logical, strategic ideas for the people that want it. But here's the reality. Not everybody wants it.
Right.
Captain Chamberlain, who was a captain over at the Mission Division, they put him in charge of the HOPE team for all of the homeless in Los Angeles. And he put together with the social services, he had the housing department, he had the neighborhood prosecutors, and they went out there and they personally contacted 400 homeless people on the street, offering them all of the services that any sane person would take to get off the street. Of the 400,
here's a key,
40, only 40 agreed to take advantage of the services. The services are there, but you have to remember also is that there are individuals that their mental state is such that they are beyond being able to ask for help. And so everybody doesn't want help, but there are some people because of either their drug addiction or their mental state, they don't have the ability to ask for help. And so there has to be an intervention with those individuals once they're identified that they cannot care for themselves, they're a danger to themselves or to others, then there has to be a way to do that. And I think what Benita was saying with the CDC, because it is a health issue, that we can step in and do a little bit more. But you've got to take the profit motive out of it.
Do you have any idea about the percentage of veterans that are mingled in with these homeless?
Well, this is what I wanted to talk about, because it was a situation. This is Benito, by the way.
Benito's running for Congress in the
29th Congressional. There was 100 open vacant beds at the West LA Veterans Facility. And there was a group that approached us and said, "And Benito, can you help us? Because we have 100 beds for veterans. Now, we've been ministering to these veterans. We have 100 that have committed. But what they don't give is they don't give underwear." So we did a call to action. We did it in probably about 7 or 8 hours. We asked the community, we did it on social media, to come out and support these veterans. Let me tell you the support that's out there for the veterans. People came from all over, not just from Pacoima, Arleta, Mission Hills, not just from the district. The majority came from there. But we raised easily over 300 pairs of underwear, socks, T-shirts, and everything
else. Now, this is new, not used.
But here's a sad thing. They were supposed to be at there was a meeting location where they were going to bring in buses. And the veterans that had committed, over 100 veterans, when the time came, it was only a handful that actually showed up. Why is that?
It's incredible.
So what we need, the question behind everything that we're talking about is why.
Yeah.
Why aren't people showing up? What is it? I spoke to one veteran who said, "I've been at war. I've been out alone in the deserts. I said, this is my home. I feel safe here. So when I'm out on the streets, some of them do feel safe in that environment. But we know that that's not where we want them.
Right.
Somehow we have to just bring in the services to help them to understand that we have a better place for them because they deserve it."
Well, I've been battling, you know this, Cameron, about the Sepulveda VA for the last 6 years, about the corruption that's gone on there. Same thing with the West LA VA, the corruption that's gone there. Now there's a two-year FBI investigation on Donna Bittner and Ralph Tillman with $75 million that were skimmed off the top and they can't find it. Ralph Tillman is spending 8 years in prison now for skimming off of the bus, leasing, that they were leasing the space to park him there, So he's spending 8 years in prison there. Right now, based on Ralph Tillman is the congressional liaison. Okay, so Brad Sherman, my opponent, knew of all of this stuff. He's the one who gave away Building 4 and 5. Those problems that are going on there is unbelievable, right?
Everybody sucks, they're not veterans.
But the biggest problem that's going on, and to the caller here, this is Mark Reed running in the 30th District, is they have a mental health care internship program there from the different colleges that graduate mental health care. That internship program is stopping this June. They have three psychologists and are not going to hire another psychologist, but they have three psychologists there that are handling 4,000 to 5,000 patients. When you have 22 veterans committing suicide every year across this nation, you have homeless veterans on the streets and they're not providing all the services that they've earned. This is a joke. I've told the veterans in this district, I don't care if Tony Cardenas or Benito gets involved. I don't care who's around me because this is a nonpartisan issue.
Right.
Either you're with me in turning this hospital back into a full-fledged hospital because the emergency room isn't open, the operating rooms aren't open. They do not give full services there. That hospital should be a full-fledged hospital, and the only way that it can be done is you have to take it out of the control of the district of Long Beach and West L.A. and create it to be its own standalone veterans hospital.
Absolutely.
And this was what has to happen. This is what I will get done in office when I'm there, because our veterans deserve it. My family are all veterans. My family are all cops. And let me tell you, I have their six, and I will never. I'll die first.
But
I'm fourth generation military, and it seems like you guys have a big job on your hands, and I wish you luck.
It's a little job. I got big boots.
Yeah, we can handle it in L.A. Anyway, Ken, real quick, we wanted to ask you one question. He's our UFO guy.
He came
the wrong night. But
I think I've met him.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, we've met him. Ken, so what's the latest on the UFO? We'll break away a little bit, and then we're going to go back to calls. We got a call.
I got one here for you. I want to let you know I left the MUFON. I quit MUFON yesterday. Just too much hassle. You know, we are all volunteers for MUFON, and they you know, sometimes they just don't treat us with the respect that I think that we should get, you know, and then I'm just basically tired of it right now. So, of course, I'm going to concentrate on my websites my one website, though, worldufophotosandnews.org. I have this on there. It's May 21st, just a couple of weeks ago in Redlands, California. The witness statement said here at almost 6 p.m. exactly, the public parking lot located directly in front of Augie's Coffee Shop, we witnessed a geometric metallic craft moving slowly from west to east, then stop and return from its original direction.
Okay.
I was driving my car to the parking lot waiting for a parking spot to open up when I heard a large jet aircraft fly over at about 8,000 feet. Curious, I looked out my car window as I waited for a driver to reverse out of a parking lot and noticed that the jet aircraft, which appeared to look like a large Learjet about the same size of a Southwest airliner's jet. Knowing the Learjets are not large, I thought it was very strange. It was at this point that I noticed a small black dot moving very slowly from west to east, almost directly overhead the shop. I thought it might be a cluster of balloons at first and perhaps a drone, but realized it seemed to be about 15,000 feet up.
Wow.
But below the cloud cover. Now, of course, we all know that drones cannot fly that high, so we know it wasn't a drone. And it says here, I expected the object to continue on a straight flight path, but I was shocked to notice that it stopped. It slowed, then stopped, and hovered while rotating on a horizontal axis. So that's telling me right there that it's it wasn't a cluster of balloons or anything. And proceeding, it says here, the shape of it seemed to be a tetrahedron with a pointed side facing down. I was able to see reflections of the setting sun on it as it rotated slowly. Once parked and out of my car, I pulled out my iPhone 6 to attempt to video what I was seeing. I noticed some other people close by and wanted to inform them of the sighting. I initially informed about four people of the craft, and they saw it.
Wow.
Then when these initial four had seen the craft, others walked over from the coffee shop that I was originally heading towards, and they saw the craft too.
Wow.
There was about 10 to 15 people who all saw the small object hovering and rotate. It was contrasted with the clouds in the background, and the object seemed to be about the size of a small car. After about 3 minutes of witnessing the object with the other people, I noticed that the craft had moved back in the same direction that it originally came from when I first saw it. So moving from west to east, originally stopped and then east to west. Then myself and others were no longer able to see the craft contrasted on the clouds behind it. My reaction to the event and the other witnesses' reaction was amazing and excitement, and they and myself all felt that we had witnessed a genuine UFO. I immediately called my brother on the cell phone, and he recommended that I write this report here. So he said the entire sighting took place approximately between 5:55 p.m. and 6:08 p.m. So it was about 10 or 15 minutes that these people saw this tetrahedron type of a craft being rotating on its axis at about
who knows how high.
I'm guessing maybe 2 or 3,000 feet.
Yeah, anyway, Ken, we appreciate...
Inland Empire?
I was going to say it was probably Nancy Pelosi trying to find San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, probably that, or know who it was? The ex-senator from Nevada.
Exactly.
Trying to come.
I knew politics was going to get into this somehow.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Ken, we appreciate you.
Nice talking to you again, Ken.
And Ken, I'm going to go back east and I'll see you.
I'll talk to you. Maybe I can get on next week if I can stay a week until 11 o'clock, okay?
All right. David Hernandez. Thanks. Can I ask you a question? By the way, we got
a caller.
Thanks so much. Okay.
Oh, thanks.
Go ahead.
Oh, David, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What are you going to do about UFOs when they come out in their lawsuits against the state of California?
The UFO lawsuits against the state of California?
Yes.
I guess what
he sounds like our attorney general right now.
Well, for the private sector and the state's involvement in the cover up with the military.
Well, I think that's going to be more of Mark's field because isn't that aviation more federal?
Yeah.
Aviation
more,
is more federal.
Benito. Yeah.
I will be a very supportive state legislator in working with the federal government because, unlike our current governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, who else up there in Sacramento? I believe in cooperating with the federal government, standing up for the Constitution, both the California Constitution and the state, and following those laws that supersede and the authority that supersedes California. So since the space program and the NASA and all that is federal, I'm going to work 100% with them.
Good. Okay, Mark.
A good sidestep.
Mark, have a question. Another
one. My question will be: if there is a space, are you for the government to release this information on UFO stuff? Because that's going to be a big issue.
I think that's something that's completely classified at this point.
Okay.
And I would have to get involved in that and pertaining to get into classification to be able to read the information and find out why they don't release it, what is it,
right,
and so forth. That's a real massive hypothetical question. So.
Yeah. So there's we got answers.
I did read Project Blue Book.
Yeah, but realistically, a lot of it is.
That was quite a while. That was back in the 80s, right? Project Blue Book.
It's highly classified
in the 50s. But that's when I read it. I read it when like Ken, I'm a Vietnam veteran. So I was in the service. So I had a lot of time when we were at sea on that aircraft carrier. So I think that's when I read Project Blue Book.
Yeah, that was the book of the times. Anyway, we're going to get back to politics.
Politics.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, we've got a lot of people that are calling from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. They have questions for Mark.
Yes.
So call on in, 323-203-0815. And we've got, I think we've got an impressive group of candidates in the room. David Hernandez is running for Lieutenant Governor of California. We got Benito.
Let's get them all into their offices.
Benito, Benny, Bernal, running for Congress in the 29th District.
Yes, sir.
And we've got my friend, Mark Reed, who's running for Congress in a very good area in the San Fernando Valley.
Right, 30th District.
It's 30th District.
And I vouch for Benito. I've known Benito's family for, 30 years now?
Over 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have the entire valley covered.
Gosh,
exactly. We got it covered here.
That's right.
We have it covered. And,
we're ready to go.
This isn't the Alex Padillas and those criminal activities. We've known each other's families for quite
Alex
a long
Padilla,
time.
Alex Padilla, who was the other guy?
Tony Cardenas.
They were living in different
Fuentes
districts.
Richard Alarcón. I mean, they're little criminal empires that have been thieving out of the West San Fernando, the East San Fernando, East North San Fernando Valley for quite a long time.
Right.
Benny will be a hell of a breath of fresh
they
air.
They need someone. Well, you know what? Right. It's funny. Mark will be good for us because we need Mark in the northern end. Benito will be wonderful in that area because we need someone who's going to take on the problems.
We were talking earlier about homelessness issues. Yeah. One of the main factors of homelessness is the fact of jobs.
Right.
We have to bring jobs back and increase
the
economy. You talked about tax cuts. When the tax cuts were being proposed, two top leading economists came out in the West San Fernando Valley, said that if the tax plan passes, the West San Fernando Valley is poised to outperform every county in the state of California, including the county that it resides in, L.A. County. Right. And Brad Sherman, my opponent, voted against it. Things are taking off right now. These guys need to be sent home.
They need to go.
They just need to be sent home. Tony Cardenas did it.
Well, Tony's got a whole other problem.
He's a little too busy right now.
Tony, I know Benito doesn't want to bring it up, but I will. Tony Cardenas has got a lawsuit against him right now for raping a 16-year-old.
I've heard about.
And Brad Sherman is the same thing. Out of his office, well, Tony Cardenas came out of his office, was supported by him, but two other individuals as well. Raul Bacanera came from Brad Sherman's office, and Matt Dubovny came from Brad Sherman's office. Matt Dubovny had to step down from a state assembly position because of rape and sexual harassment allegations while he was working for Brad Sherman. Not afterwards, while he was working for Brad Sherman. Brad Sherman is obstructing justice because he deleted all the questions from his town hall meeting that he posted on his website. Right. He deleted those questions from constituents saying, hey, what about this? This guy is the worst thing ever for the women and the young gals in the West San Fernando Valley, period. Right. I have several emails from mothers who their daughters graduated from Cal State Northridge or UCLA that went intern for Brad. Brad got up in their face and screamed and yelled at him and intimidated him. This is a predator. He is a predator.
Right.
They've come out and they've done the degrading of the meanest congressmen in Washington, D.C. Brad Sherman comes in at number two.
Oh,
as
wow.
the meanest congressman in there.
Yeah.
He has the highest staff turnover rate. What does that tell you? Your congressional office, like Benito's going to be there. We're running a business.
Yeah.
I've owned my own businesses since I was 26.
Right.
Okay? Your employer sets the tone for the entire office. Your employer sets the tone for everything gets accomplished out of that office.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a turnover rate of 50% per year of your staff, what does that tell you? You're a horrible boss.
Yeah,
If you have three sexual predators coming from your office that graduated from there, what does that tell you? This guy is horrible. We are a family community, and this is what he's unleashed on the community. Is a bunch
Hopefully
of
we got to get Mark in there. Right. We got to get him in.
Well, and you know, Cameron, I think what people are looking across the state, you know, especially with regards to my race, is everybody knows we have the worst traffic.
Right.
Our roads are almost the worst. We have the worst schools. We have the highest taxes. And so what people are really looking for is they're looking for solutions. And one of the things that I came up with, I think you brought it up earlier about the cost of electricity,
right,
and water and power, and what has taken place in California that we have spent millions and millions of dollars on promoting solar energy,
right,
and that has been a very successful thing with the rebates, with all of the financing and all the different stuff. But what has happened also is we've also focused on conservation, and so because of the amount of conservation. Organizations like the Department of Water and Power have lost so much funding to fund their infrastructure. That's why they have had five rate increases in a row. And so here you have a situation where you have seniors that are afraid to turn on their air conditioners during the summer, especially in Mark's district in the West Valley, that they're putting themselves in danger of heat exhaustion. So, but what has happened and what is really incredible is that with the success of solar, you have all this additional solar energy being produced. With all the conservation, you have all the decrease in usage. We have maxed out our electrical capacity to store electricity.
Right.
So to solve that solution, we are transferring electricity to Arizona. However, we are paying Arizona to take our electricity.
I've heard.
So here's my solution. Very common sense. Why don't the three hottest months out of the year, everyone in California, over the age of 72, your electricity is free. That way, you'll turn on the air conditioner.
Great idea.
You won't have to decide whether you can pay your bill or buy your prescriptions. You'll increase the usage, which will help the storage capacity. We don't have to pay Arizona.
Right.
Which will mean that we can increase the amount of solar production, which is better for the environment. What's wrong with that?
I like it, man.
Questions answered.
Support David Hernandez for Lieutenant Governor.
Only because in another 11 years I'll be 72. I like the idea of free electricity.
Free,
but as a conservative, who's going to pay for it?
We're already paying Arizona to take the electricity.
I understand that, but the issue is nothing is ever for free. We need to start building the infrastructure here in California.
But we need to stop. We need to stop paying Arizona. You know, if we save one senior's life and don't pay Arizona, we get to increase solar production. It's going to be cheaper, and we get somebody in there that's not going to keep paying off the IBEW union and give the DWP five rate increases every single year. So right.
That's true.
Yep.
DWP is doing it. Now, what I'm going to do, we'll break in a little bit.
Okay.
This lady's got a wonderful play, and then we'll go back to politics.
Great.
You got Negative Spaces. Tell our audience about Negative Spaces.
Negative Spaces is a play about a couple. It's a love story. And after 10 years of domestic bliss, they decide to embark on a new journey together of having their own child.
Okay.
But it doesn't go so well. And after they experience some losses, they meet another woman, and she can conceive, and I'll just say she fills in the negative space.
Okay.
So it's a serious piece, and you know the question.
Now the cast, you're part of the cast.
Yes, I also
and
Wes
McGee
is a fantastic actor. I'm so proud to have him on board. He's such a deep, grounded, intelligent actor. Laura Coover plays our ingenue, and our director Blythe Alfarth has been on and off Broadway since she was 9 years old. She's incredibly bright and brilliant, and she's breathed so much life into our play. We're so proud and excited to have her on board.
Tell our listeners what have you been, if they've seen you in Broadway plays or TV?
Last season I was on Mistresses.
Okay.
And I was a Sacred Fools theater company member for years.
Okay.
So I've been in other independent films, and this is the first play I've written. And we are playing at the Complex as a part of the Fringe Festival in the Dory Theater. And you can buy tickets at hff18.org.
And you're at the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Yes, the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Which is, it comes every year. They have different, you know, events over there. And it's wonderful theater for folks out there. And you're at the Complex, Hollywood, Dory Theater.
Yes.
So that's where it's at. And you can buy tickets. And
you can also check us out online at negative-spaces.com.
Okay.
And tickets can be bought at hff18.org/4875.
That's very easy.
Very easy.
To remember there.
You have a beautiful flyer, too.
Thank you.
I like it.
Thank you very much.
Now, tell one last thing, and then we'll get into one last thing about the play. You're going to be, it's opening up, what, next week?
No, on Sunday.
Sunday.
At 7:30 p.m., so June 3rd.
June 3rd.
Good. All right.
So what you can do, you see your play, then see the NBA Finals, and there you go. That's your whole
and
day.
And in 2 days, go vote.
Who's your champion?
Go vote, that's right.
Your husband? Who's your biggest support?
My biggest support? Mm-hmm. Oh, my husband.
Right on.
That's wonderful.
He's
my everything.
How long have you been married?
Mr. Andrew Holmes. We've been married. We've been together for 12 years. Well, actually, 11 years.
11 years.
A long time.
And that's a lot of time to put in.
Are you from L.A.?
I'm from New Orleans.
New Orleans, baby. I'm going to think of, what was the famous restaurant guy from New Orleans? He used to have they had him around in L.A., and he's gone. You know, you probably know. Is it Ray Perdomo?
Sure.
Yeah, Ray Perdomo. And then, what's his name?
Emerald
Nagasse. Yeah, Emerald Nagasse. By the way, he lives in your district.
There we go.
Yeah.
So I take it you've been to New Orleans.
Yeah. It's a great, great place.
Well, you really haven't been to New Orleans unless you leave sweat and gravy and alcohol.
That's it.
I have to.
Or you go to, out here, they have by Disneyland, there's a place, Brennan's.
Really?
Yeah,
I haven't
Brennan's.
Been there. God, I feel like
I've
lived.
I'm like, I just go on the freebies, you know? Freebies stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, Brennan's is an institution in New Orleans.
It's your political side of you.
Yeah, that's my side to meet the people.
So
what we're going to, what we wanted to tell everyone, please see this play.
Take your wife out.
Mm-hmm. Your significant other, your husband, whatever.
Yes.
And see this play, enjoy it. And any hope of this becoming a Broadway possible play?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't disagree.
Oh, there you go.
I wouldn't
like
argue.
I like that Broadway play. You never know.
Now, Melanie, is there any social media or a place where people can go and find out more about it? Or
you can go to our website at negative-spaces.com.
Uh-huh.
You can follow me on Instagram at MelanieHolmes11,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see backstage photos, mm-hmm. rehearsal photos, and more information on tickets.
Oh yeah, because I think that really enhances the experiences that you see all of the behind the scenes stuff, and then you go there and it's like wow. It comes together.
But you have New Orleans food for you.
Well, yeah. You know, the play was originally set in New Orleans, but mm-hmm. then I realized there isn't enough about New Orleans to really really make a difference. And, you know, my tagline is life, death, and the space between.
Right.
But it was originally a story about conception, loss, and Mexican food. But then mm-hmm. I realized there really wasn't enough about Mexican food to justify mm-hmm. that.
Right.
And although there are places where, I mean, it's funny, and we hope the audience will laugh with us, it really is a serious piece.
It's like when you go up when we do our tours,
mm-hmm.
people ask us, "So, what's LA food?
LA
food
is everywhere. Everywhere
we go
is LA food."
By the way, we wanted to tell everyone we're going to have a trip to Sedona. We're going.
Ah,
soon. We'll take our tour days.
The Vortex, huh?
The Vortex.
All right, you're going to go.
Get stuck in it.
Are you going to meet Ken there?
No, Ken's in. Ken it was. A researcher for MUFON in LA. So
oh, okay.
You may
we won't see
us.
Him. We won't see him, but we're going to go see the whole experience of that.
Been
anyway.
There.
Okay, so just again, I want to remind everyone.
Yeah, we'll give you one more shot.
Is
one more shot.
The Complex Hollywood, the Dory Theater, is part of the Fringe Festival. And for tickets, you go to HFF18.org /4875. And if you want a discount, you use the discount code CLUSTERB,
ooh.
As in boy. And if you go to the preview, which is June 3rd, this Sunday at 7:30, and
yeah.
you buy a ticket online, and you use the discount code PREVIEW,
okay.
you'll get a $5 ticket.
I'm learning.
A $5 ticket.
Such
house.
A deal. Such a deal.
One of the great things in society is mm-hmm. our arts.
Yeah.
So it's really important to support the arts. I'm an actor myself, so I've done quite a few films. And you know, when you talk about theater, it's kind of like remembering Richard Burton.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Burton's comment was, "I love theater. My heart is in the theater, but it just doesn't pay."
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
It's a labor of love.
That is true.
It is an absolute
labor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having
me.
It's been such a pleasure.
Let me know.
Thank you.
And thank you, Phil Sokoloff.
Yes, thank you so much, Phil Sokoloff.
Phil Sokoloff.
It's a pleasure having you, Melanie.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Anyway,
we're going to
continue.
Thank
you so much for your interest in my play.
Thank you.
And
we're going to continue our political thing and have people vote for this coming week.
Yeah,
they still. By the way, the ballots, is it too late to get your ballot through the mail?
No, you can't get it through the mail, but the polls open on June 5th.
Okay, so
couple
please vote.
And if you haven't mailed it in, you can walk a mail-in ballot
right.
to a poll, any polling place.
Yes.
Yeah, and in fact, what I was going to mention is, if you're deciding for Congress, Mark Reed. There's no doubt, mm-hmm. Mark Reed.
You know, and you can't listen to the defeatists because I'm a pragmatic Republican. I listen to everything. I have a work history of working with both sides of the aisle, especially because I'm come from the industry. I was on the board of directors at KCET. I was recruited there, so that is all far left leaning. It's
right.
public television.
They
brought me there
that
to get
true.
Stuff done that they couldn't get done for 18 years. I got it done in 18 months.
That's phenomenal.
Okay, so having the history of working bipartisan, I have that. And this is what we need in office anymore. We don't need these party hacks. We don't need this party bickering that's going on now.
Right. It's not helping.
We need
it.
To get
helping.
The work done for the people. And
right.
there is so much that needs to be done.
That's your next congressman? I'm very
just go to my website, markreedforcongress.com, markreedforcongress.com, and you can also go to my Facebook site as well. The tags are on there, and my Twitter as well. Tweeter.
I'm
61.
Twitter, tweeter, potato, potato.
I don't know.
Potato, potato. But anyway, Mark is a good man. And then David Hernandez ran for lieutenant governor. And the only thing I see on these commercials, that lady who's running for
Ali, and you know what? Did
she talk?
because I've had the opportunity of being in this race for almost a year.
Yeah.
That some of the other Republican candidates got in just in the past couple of months.
Right.
that I was on a candidates forum at Sacramento University with her, as well as the other former ambassador to Australia under President Obama. She was an ambassador to Hungary under President Obama. Very nice gal, very bright. I had a long talk with her husband, you know, really thanking him, because families really sacrifice a lot when someone in the family decides to run for office. Mm-hmm. And so we were on the panel. The other candidate was the Green Party candidate, Gail. She was also, you know, I think she was a former mayor of a small community up there in Northern California. All very bright, all, you know, and coming across very convicted, you know, in their beliefs, but they were just opposite. And, you know, what was important is that was the weekend that Governor Brown signed SB 54, the Sanctuary State Bill.
Right.
And so this was the Asian Pacific Islander 16th Annual Candidates Forum, and I was the only Republican there, you know, in the race for lieutenant governor. You had Javier Becerra give an opening speech. You had Daryl Steinberg, the mayor of Sacramento, give an opening speech. And basically all of them condemning, saying, that, you know, SB 54 shows Trump that California is not racist and we value immigrants. And they all went on to that. And so then the candidates all chimed in on with that type of thinking. Now, then it comes to me, and I'm the only one up there with brown skin. And so they kind of figured they were going to, you know, get a attaboy from me. And I said, well, I come from Los Angeles, and we have 450 gangs in Los Angeles and 85,000 gang members. And of that amount, at least 25% are in the country illegally.
Right.
I said, so because the courts are overcrowded, their budgets have been cut, because Prop 47, you've let 30,000 or more felons out of state prison, and Prop 57 and AB 109, and you've reduced these felonies to misdemeanors, that one of these gang members can assault your mother on the street, hit her over the head, steal her purse, and then plead out to a misdemeanor. He may serve 3 days in jail, and he'll be let back out into the community.
Yeah.
I said, what SB 54 does is it lets individuals into the community that even undocumented immigrants don't want in the community.
Right.
SB 54 has nothing to do with immigration. It has to do with protecting criminals in jail from being deported.
Right.
And believe me, undocumented immigrants don't want them in the neighborhood either.
That's
so what is the result? The result is that they are being released into the community. Well, immigration is not going to stop coming here. So instead of going and transferring somebody from a county jail, they're going to their last residence, and they are mandated to pick up anyone that they encounter without documents. And so this is a disservice to undocumented immigrants.
SB 54.
Well, that you heard our next lieutenant governor?
Yes. You know,
Hernandez.
SB 54, David, is really, really an armed revolution based on the politicians in Sacramento against the federal government. And it needs to get squashed. Jerry Brown should be put in prison. Our lieutenant governor now should be put in prison. The federal government should do its oversight. Yes, Jeff Sessions' lawsuit against California is justified. However, there's more that can be done by the Congress in doing referrals, doing congressional inquiries and referrals to the DOJ and asking for prosecution. But let me shift just one gear here.
We got a minute.
I know you got a minute.
Minute, and then we got.
One of the things you know when your campaign is doing really good is when you get the political director and executive producer of the Montel Williams show attacking you all the way from Indiana. And they're coming out like crazy. They're bringing up 30-year-old traffic tickets on me again. I mean, this is just bizarre. You know, they're trying to paint me out like I'm some kind of a criminal. And it's like, you know what? Right. I met my wife when I was 11. I gave her a promise ring at 16. We married at 21. We got 40 years of marriage. Right. I have 3 adult children. I have 9 grandchildren. I've owned my own businesses since I was 26. I am far from a criminal.
Right.
The criminals are in office now, raping and molesting all of their constituents. And that's why Sherman needs to get.
Yeah, Brett Sherman probably was the one that did that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And, yeah, he does crazy stuff. You know, that's LA politics.
Oh, yeah. Filthy politics just trying to avoid solutions. Like David's offering solutions. I have solutions. I have teams in place to implement the solutions.
Well, Mark, we appreciate you coming. David Hernandez, Lieutenant Governor. Mark's running for Congress in the 30th District. So we got this down. Anyway, we want to thank you all for coming. Yep. And then next week,
we have. We are going back to. We're going back to Jason Munoz. Justin Munoz, we want to congratulate him on his graduation into becoming a new journalist.
Right.
And we'll have him follow up with a little debate on secession, California secession, coming up next
week.
That's
right. We're going to talk about that.
Yes. What does the state have?
Secession. Split it three times, right? Okay. Anyway, as they say in radio, it was a great show tonight. And
good night.
And please send us emails at camdatsker@yahoo.com. And please vote. Please vote. That's what we want you to do.
Remember, it's David the Right Hernandez for Lieutenant Governor.
The Right.
Because there's two Hernandezes on there.
That's right.
Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, that's true. And then Mark Reed, R-E-E-D.
R-E-E-D.
And by the way, you appeared number two on my ballot.
There you go.
I got
lucky. It goes on different. Yeah, every precinct's different, yes.
It was so easy to vote.
Just Mark.
Mark.
Just Mark.
And
just
let's thank Melanie and wish her success on her play.
Melanie, thank you so much.
Remember to mark your ballot for Reed. That's all you got to do.
That's it. Reed and then David Hernandez. Anyway, good night, everyone, from Los Angeles.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.